We have described here in Luke chapter 2 the birth of Christ. And in the first 21 verses here, and we'll read those in just a moment, we have described for us the pronouncement of His birth and the reception of His birth. And those are the things we're going to be looking at. We're going to be looking at the pronouncement, the response. We're going to be looking at the name of Jesus. These are the things we're going to be looking at today, encouraging us, reminding us of who it is that came for us. And really, that's the reason we promote Christ at Christmas. It is not because it's about gift-giving or about other things that we might enjoy in the time here, like Christmas lunch, but it is about Jesus. It is about pointing out Him who was born and would die for us. So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll read through Luke chapter 2. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You again for this beautiful day, and Lord, we thank You for the opportunity to live in this country where we are free to gather together without fear. Lord, we thank You for the safety that You've given each one in traveling here today. Lord, we thank You for all the good and precious things that You do for us. Lord, we pray that You would be with those in leadership in this country, that they would not promote that which is evil, that You would withhold the evil things that would be done, and Lord, that they might instead approve and promote that which is good. Father, we also ask that You would bring to salvation as many of the leaders of this country are not saved. And Lord, we ask that You would work in their hearts. Father, we pray for Your blessings upon each one of our missionaries. Lord, we pray that You would uphold them, strengthen them, and encourage them this day. Lord, I pray that Your name, as it goes forth in each country that's represented by our missionaries, Lord, in Israel and in Mauritius and in Papua New Guinea and around Japan. And Lord, we ask that Your word would go forth clearly, that it would be received, and that there would be a great deal of fruit born through the messages preached this morning. And Lord, we ask these things, that Your name be praised forever and ever. Amen. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. We have here the birth of Jesus and the pronouncements that were made and the responses of the people. And this is a familiar story for each one of us. We've all been to church for more than a year, and doubtless you have heard it in Sunday school, some of you. You've heard it perhaps when you were a child. You heard the Christmas carols that detail all kinds of aspects of the birth of Christ. And so we are not looking at a new story. But I want us to try, as we are looking at God's Word, to look at it with fresh eyes and to see if we can truly learn from what was pronounced and what the responses were. And I want us to put ourselves into the position of the shepherds, or to view it from the perspective of the angels, to understand what's going on and not just say, oh, I've heard this before, to really look at it with fresh eyes. Sometimes you look at something with fresh eyes and the errors pop out. That is, errors in your understanding. Of course, this works for when you're writing letters or when you're typing things out, children. If you write it out and then you put it away for a bit and then look at it again, then you find out, oh, I misspelled this word, and those, I forgot to put the comma, all of those kinds of things. Coming back to it a second time helps you to find parts where you made mistakes or where you didn't understand it correctly or you wrote it down wrong. And so we are coming to this story, but don't just say, I know the Christmas story. I know about Jesus. He came to earth. He was born in a manger. Ho-hum. Let's look at it with our fresh eyes. Eyes renewed and seeing it as if for the first time. This is a very unusual set of circumstances. Mary and Joseph traveling so close to the birth of Jesus, it is easy to think about the thoughts and fears that would have been going through their minds. Can you imagine? For you ladies who know what this is like, or men who have worried about your wives who are about to give birth and you're traveling, and not just traveling, but traveling on a donkey, that wouldn't have been comfortable. It wouldn't have been easy, and there would have been fears and worries like, are we going to make it to Bethlehem? Are we even going to make it there? When's the baby going to come? Roughly, we know when it's due, but everyone who's had a child knows that they come on their own time frame. They are not predictable, not entirely predictable. And so here, they had no clue exactly what day or what hour Jesus would come. They also knew that this was an unusual birth from the start. They knew, because they had been told by an angel, in fact, the angel had to come back on multiple occasions to help them to understand, but they were told by an angel about the coming of Jesus. They were told many things, and as we saw there in the last verse that we read, verse 21, that an angel told them what name they should name him. Jesus. They were told all of these things before he was even conceived. So they're coming, they have some understanding of what is facing them, but they don't know what's exactly going to happen. There are fears and worries, and then it was compounded by the fact that they couldn't find a place to stay that was comfortable and easy. Instead, they ended up in the shelter for the animals. Some call it a cave, some say that it might have just been a building, but in whatever state it was definitely not ideal for giving birth, and it wasn't a rich person's birth. I want us now to focus on the shepherds. The shepherds were doing their normal job. They were doing what they do every week at that time of year anyway. They were out with the sheep. They were protecting them from predators, making sure people didn't come and steal them, making sure they didn't wander off or get harmed in any way. They were watching over their flocks day and night, and that's where they were. They were doing their normal work. They were going about their normal day. And then they got the shock of their life. There were angels. Verse 8, it says that these shepherds were abiding in the field, and in verse 9, the angel of the Lord came upon them. You can go through your whole scripture. You can start in Genesis and go all the way through. There aren't very many instances of angels coming. It's not something that occurs very frequently. There are a few points where it happens. Abraham got to see angels on a couple of occasions. Gideon got to see an angel. Let's see, who else? Off the top of my head, I'm trying to remember a few others. But it's not every person. It wasn't a commonplace thing. It wasn't, oh yeah, every day we see an angel. No, this is extraordinary. Throughout history, the number of people who've been visited by an angel is very small. And here, it's not one person seeing this angel, and it's not just one or two choice people, but it is a group of shepherds. These shepherds were nothing special. They weren't priests. They weren't kings. They weren't who you would normally expect an angel to visit. Not only that, but they weren't prophets, were they? They were shepherds. They were common shepherds going about their normal business. And now they are getting a message from the angel of the Lord. I want us to note that there is something that they see when they see this angel of the Lord. In verse 9 it says, "And the glory of the Lord shone round about them." If you're to pick one word out of this chapter, out of this reading, the word glory comes up a number of times. Here we have the glory of the Lord was shining around them. And it was bright, and it caused them to be very afraid. Again, picture this. You're in the dark. You're going about your normal business, so you have enough light to do what you normally do. You're keeping watch, and all of a sudden, spotlight level light just pouring down on you, even brighter than that, but extremely bright, just focused right on you, and there's this angel, and there he is coming upon them, coming down to them, and speaking to them. They were afraid. If we did tonight or at some time when it got a little bit darker, turned off all the lights, and then I just shone a spotlight right in your eyes, it would startle you. It would cause you to be wondering, why is Pastor pointing me out? Why is he making everyone focus their attention on me? It wouldn't be a very good feeling. It would be something that would cause you fear. Especially in those days when you're looking up and there's this angel, bright and shining, and the glory of the Lord, not the glory of the angel. Notice, the glory of the Lord was shining around them. Jesus is described for us in Revelation as being the light of the new Jerusalem, so that they need no sun nor moon. We're talking about a great deal of light. The expression of God's glory is very bright. It far outshines the sun. And here the angels are being accompanied by the glory of the Lord, and this caused the shepherds to be afraid. Now let us look at their message. The angels, they said, "Fear not." That's a good way to start. In fact, that's how almost every interaction with angels went. Fear not. And in fact, that's the same statement that Jesus made how many times through his ministry. Fear not. In the presence of God, in the presence of his glory, there is a natural reaction, fear, because we are not holy, and because God is so powerful. Well, the angels say, fear not. This angel, sorry, says, fear not. Then he says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. We could preach a whole message about how the angel was proclaiming great joy. Not a little bit of joy, but a great deal of joy. This is something that should cause them to be happy forever. Jesus' coming still brings us great joy. It is because Jesus was not just a little baby, but he was the very God in flesh. This is why there is great joy. The good tidings that Jesus had come was enough to bring great joy to all people. Great joy to all people. The angel's assessment here is that the people of Israel, but the people of the whole world, should be rejoicing because of the birth of Jesus. Because God showed his love in sending his only begotten Son to earth. Many Christians throughout history have tried to magnify Christmas time, and we don't want to make it a replacement or bigger than the resurrection of our Savior, but it is a huge deal that God came to earth. It's not something lightly to be brushed over, that Jesus came and was born as a baby. This is a huge deal, and it should cause us great joy. We should be extremely happy at the coming of our Savior. Even today, many, many years later, the message of the angels is still true. Jesus has come, and if you will accept him into your heart, his coming will be great joy to you. It will be great joy to you. I won't put anyone on the spot, but each one of us who knows Jesus as Savior, was his coming accompanied by great joy in your life? Was it? Hopefully it was. We could all rejoice in that, because let me tell you, God himself rejoices when one sinner comes to repentance. And if God himself rejoices, then how can we not join in that rejoicing, in that joy? So we're there in verse 10. We've seen that there is good tidings, great joy unto all people. And now he gives the part that should cause the shepherds to go into joy. into overdrive there of joy. In verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." There is so much doctrine packed into this one verse. There is so much doctrine. Hopefully, when you read your scripture, you pull out things like this. Jesus came to the shepherds. He was born unto you, unto the shepherds that are being proclaimed this message. It wasn't just that he was born to Mary and Joseph. It wasn't just that he was born and he's of the line and lineage of David, but he was born to be a personal Savior unto these shepherds. Notice also that Jesus Christ, He is the Lord. Notice it doesn't say, "and Jesus who will be the Lord." It says, "is Christ the Lord." This Savior is Christ the Lord, the Messiah, the promised one, the Lord. How much more can we pull out of this one verse? Jesus is not only the Christ, not only was He born, but He is the Lord. This was a title reserved for God. And we can't go past the fact that He is a Savior. He is a baby in the manger, and yet He is being proclaimed as a Savior. Jesus didn't get surprised by being asked to be Savior later in life. It was His very purpose for coming. And in fact, we're told that Jesus is the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Jesus not only existed in eternity past, but He had purchased for us salvation in eternity. Now, don't ask me to explain eternity. I can't do it. My little brain would explode. Just the little bits that I think I comprehend in that He is outside of time, and He is able to be everywhere present and to know everything. And somehow all of that works together so that He was slain. He was a Savior. He came to deliver. And yet He was born at a specific moment in a little town in the land of Israel near Jerusalem. And He lived, grew, and died. It's too much to understand, but all of that is contained here in this verse. That Jesus already was intending to be their Savior. He was intending to deliver them. This also shows us that Jesus wanted those shepherds and everyone they told to understand the good tidings of deliverance. Of deliverance. Of rescuing. The angel has declared that they should be joyful, that they should be rejoicing at this. And now He has told them that Jesus will be born a Savior, the Christ. And then He gives them some signs. That is, some ways of knowing that they had found the right house. That they had found the correct baby born. And that they could depend on the fact that this was God of gods. They gave signs that He was wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. How unusual. The angels then had a response in verse 13. The first messenger has spoken, and now the rest of the angels join him. Rest. I don't know how many of them. A large group. It says a great multitude. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, and they were praising God and saying. And so we have here our first response to Jesus' birth and to the message that Jesus was born to save, to deliver. the response is by these angels, "Glory to God in the highest." Glory to God in the highest. I don't know how it was spoken, whether it was like a large chorus, whether it was in song. We're not told, but doubtless it shook the very air around the shepherds. A multitude of angels all proclaiming the glory of God in the highest, that is in heaven. And on earth, Jesus coming is peace on earth and goodwill towards men. This is the response of the angels. They see the birth of Jesus and they say, "Glory to God. He is providing for peace and He is to receive all the glory. He has shown goodwill toward men." We could preach the gospel out of this now, and if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, then I do beg of you to view the Christ, that is, Jesus, who has goodwill towards you and who wants to bring peace between you and God. Not because God has done anything wrong, but because your sin has separated between you and God. Well, that was the angel's response. The angel's response was to double down on glorifying God, to praise Him for the great provision that He had made in this tiny little baby. We then see in verse 15 the response of the shepherds. The response of the shepherds. They said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." They were convinced by the angels. Now don't take this too lightly. There are other times when angels spoke that people did not listen very well. In fact, there were times when God spoke when people didn't listen very well. I think specifically of one prophet who heard from God exactly where he was supposed to go, what he was supposed to say, and how he was supposed to return. And he listened to part of it. And he remembered and obeyed part of it. But he did not hold to what God had told him to do. These angels gave this message to the shepherds, and immediately they were galvanized. That is, they were charged up and ready to go. And they, each one was saying to the other, "We should go see if this is true. We should go to Bethlehem. We should go find out." More important than the sheep, more important than their job, was finding out if what the angels had said was true. Verifying that a Savior was born. I want us to notice in verse 16 that their response was not just to understand what the angels had said, but then to quickly obey. It says, and they made haste. They came with haste. They came with haste. So they put their running shoes on. They got moving. They ran to verify it. They didn't wait around and say, "Well, we'll figure out if the angels told us true tomorrow." They said, "We're going to do it right now." And then instead of walking casually, they made haste. They ran to verify what was told them. They found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in that manger. It was all exactly as God had told them through the angels. And their response then was they went to tell others. If you have verified that God's message to you of salvation, deliverance, a Savior who was born fully man yet also God, the Godhead bodily with us, Emmanuel, God with us, and who suffered and died on our behalf, if you have found that true, if you have proved it, then like the shepherds, you should be making it known. We find that they, in verse 17, they made known abroad the saying that was told them concerning this child. They went to everyone they could find. Now, I like to imagine what was going on in the minds of all of these people in Bethlehem. It was a crowded, busy time where everyone was in town. There wasn't even room for Joseph and Mary to find a place. So it was packed out. Every room was filled. Everyone had all of their relatives over. It was a packed out town. And it's nighttime. And all of a sudden, there's shepherds running through the town talking about, hey, there's this child just got born. Hey, and angels told us this is the Savior, and you should have great joy. And they repeated the whole message. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. And they're running through town, and everybody's waking up like, what's going on? Someone's coming attacking us? I don't know. I'm sure there were some people who almost had a heart attack because getting woken up at late at night is not fun for anyone. But here they were. They were spreading abroad, and it doesn't tell us the time frame here. Perhaps they continued speaking about it for the rest of their lives. But they continued to tell all the things that they had seen and heard. In verse 20, they were glorifying and praising God even as they returned back to their job on the hills there with the sheep. They were glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. This was their response. They were completely sold out in glorifying God. I want us to notice the response of the other people, the ones who heard the shepherd's message. Just very briefly, it says, verse 18, and all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. It says they wondered at it. And we don't get the impact of this word wondered, but it is to have an awe, to view it with amazement or astonishment, to be standing there saying, how can that be? This is amazing. If this is true, this changes everything. They wondered about it. Now, we don't know whether they also went to prove whether a baby had been born or anything else, like the shepherds. Unlike the shepherds, but they definitely wondered at it. And this is the response we should still have at hearing that Jesus Christ was born so many years ago. We should have this wonder, a astonishment that God would come and be born. As highly as we like to think ourselves, humanity is not the most beautiful, the best, or the easiest thing around. God could surely have become an angel. That would have been more fitting, although still not fitting enough for God. But he became a man. Humanity, he took on himself a body. This is astonishing. I want us to notice, finally, as we close up this morning, that his name was called Jesus. The angels already told us that he is a Savior, that he is Christ the Lord, but here his name was called Jesus. That is, God saves, Jehovah delivers, Jesus. His very name is God is providing for us salvation, if we want to spell it out. That's his name. His very name is God is saving us. This is why he came. He is called Jesus. One little side note here. Jesus, he was named Jesus before his conception. The angel declares his name to Mary before his conception. This implies that God had a plan. This also shows us that Jesus existed before he was conceived. It is not that he became at that point, but that he existed before and he only now is called Jesus. His name becomes Jesus. And so he was named that by the angels before he was conceived. All of this is miraculous. All of this is supernatural, wondrous. It's all amazing and astonishing. A virgin conceiving, a child being born who is fully God, the Godhead dwelled in Jesus completely. I can't even conceive of all-powerful, all-knowing, almighty, perfect in holiness, love, etc., God encapsulated in human flesh. That's beyond our understanding. That's impossible to completely understand. And yet, Jesus came and he died for us. We can have confidence that Jesus Christ died as he said. Even his birth was extraordinary. And the way it was pronounced was extraordinary. God not only condescended, that is, bent down to us in coming to this earth, but he also provides us confidence that Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. For he came fulfilling so many prophecies. And again, we don't have time today to go through all of those Old Testament prophecies about a virgin being born, about the coming Messiah who would deliver his people from their sins. These are Old Testament prophecies. But so many fulfilled, and even in his birth, the place of his birth, the timing of his birth, all of those things were foretold in the Old Testament. And it gives us great confidence that Jesus Christ is the only way, truth, and life. He fulfilled those prophecies of his birth. This also gives us great confidence in that he not only fulfilled prophecies through his birth and life and death and resurrection, but he will fulfill all that he has promised in his coming again. We are promised a future resurrection. If we know him, it will be a resurrection of life unto life. If we do not know him, it is a resurrection unto judgment and death. The second death, a death in fires that are unquenchable, torments that are unceasing. But if we have Christ Jesus, we have confidence that he will welcome us to be with him, that where I am, there ye maybe also. He has gone ahead of us to prepare a place for us. Jesus has fulfilled so many prophecies. And the ones that haven't been fulfilled will be fulfilled soon. They will be fulfilled. We can trust Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, and he will deliver us. He will save us if we will come to him. The shepherds could have turned their backs on the angels and the message. They could have turned their backs and said, later. We'll find out whether this is true later. They could have said, this is not important. We don't need good tidings. We don't need saving. We're good enough ourselves. And they could have just sat there with the sheep. The people who heard their message, again, we don't know whether they went and verified it or not, but they could have just, oh, these annoying shepherds. I'm glad they went back out to the sheep. What have they been eating out there? They're all gone crazy. They could have had that kind of attitude, but instead, they had an astonishment, a wondering at the amazing things that God had done. We need to remember the birth of Christ, not just because His birth was so unique, although it was very unique, but because it proves to us the deity of Christ. It proves to us His purpose, that He had come to save us. This is not just the gospel writers editing for us what they want us to know about Him. This is what the angels actually said. This is their actual message, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This was their actual intention. This was God's message direct from the angel's mouth. And this was the exact time when Jesus was born. He was born just as all of us have been born. That is, He was born as a baby. Similarities there. And He died as each one of us face death. But He saves all who come to Him. He saves us all. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. A Savior who reaches not just the shepherds, not just the people in Bethlehem, but unto the whole of earth. Goodwill towards all mankind, not just towards the select few. Jesus is available to each one. We need to come to Him. And so today I want to remind us to have great joy during this time in a Savior who is beyond compare, unique and wonderful. And let us take the shepherd's example and tell everyone about what we are convinced of. What we're convinced of, that Jesus was born and that He lived. And that He died. And that He rose again. These things we're convinced of. And finally, let us look forward to the future fulfillment of all that Christ has promised to us. A place prepared for us in heaven. And the presence of our precious Savior forever. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill toward God. All people. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the body which You prepared Your Son, and we thank You for the miraculous virgin birth. We thank You for the amazing provision of a Savior when mankind could not save itself, when we could do nothing good, where all of our righteousnesses were just filthy rags, and You provided Yourself a lamb. You paid the penalty for our sins upon the cross, and Lord, we just thank You again and again for all that You have done. Lord, we ask that You would give us boldness to, as the shepherds, go out and proclaim the wonderful saving that is only available through the way, the life, and the truth, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Father, we pray that You would give us much opportunity during this season to remind everyone that we see of the Savior who was born so many years ago. We ask these things that You might receive all the glory from the angels and from the people. Amen.